So we don't have a formula. We don't. We have the Spirit of God who deals with each one of us individually and collectively as a church. So the Lord speaks to you. And then you respond to Him. And it's all nested in His Word. That's why we need to be in the Word, you know.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, December 17th, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Reflections on Christmas. And our text comes to us from John chapter 1, verse 14. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, this morning, we're looking at Christmas. I'm putting a stop or a hold on the Sermon on the Mount because I think it's so appropriate to simply address the issue of Christmas in your life and in my life. I was wondering how many themes we have for Christmas, and I came up with at least five. We could talk about the wise men or the Magi. We could also talk about the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. We can talk about the different stories, the journey to Bethlehem, the manger scene, the shepherd's visit. Oh, my goodness. We could talk about Mary and Joseph, too. Very important characters, crucial roles in Jesus coming to the world. And we can also talk about the absolute unbelievable, out of complete imagination, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And so I felt we should go ahead and start with something like the incarnation of Christ and the meaning of God with us. And so I'd like for you to go to your Bible to John chapter 1, verse 14. When you look at the wise men, they were seeking Jesus because he was going to be on this earth a transformative personality. It's just amazing. When you look at the nativity scenes and all what it means, you're just embraced by the fact that there were so many things that spoke one truth. And that one truth is the obedience or the commitment, as you say, of God towards us, and also the vessels that he used for Jesus to be born in this world. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is a mystery that we will never be able to understand. None of us will be able to understand. But he was born of the Virgin Mary. And we believe that's exactly what happened. The Spirit of God came upon Mary. And Mary said, let it be according to your will. And God's will was done. There was a servant, Mary, who said, yes, I am willing to be used of God. Mary could have said no, and God would have walked away. Did you know that? That's how powerful your will is. Because God can speak to you this morning, and you can say no. And that's it. Someone who was close to me, this person's passed away, said in a very important occasion about God, he says, you know, seems like God is sufficiently dark that if I don't want to see him, I don't have to. But he's sufficiently bright that if I want to see him, I can see him. And Mary had an opportunity to dialogue with the angel. Whew. May none of us ever receive such visitation. Anyway, and so Mary could have said no, but she said, let it be according to your word. So there was a commitment from God to come into the world, and at the same time, there was a commitment of human beings that welcome God's presence in their lives. Because ultimately, we yearn for God in our lives. Ultimately, there is a vacuum inside of us that can only be filled by God's presence. There's a design that says, this is where I fit God. And you can put other things in there, but they just don't do it. They can never be filled. There's always going to be emptiness. There's always going to be a space that needs to be filled because the world cannot fill it. The enemy of our souls cannot fill it. Our carnality cannot do it. Our best interest cannot do it. Only, it's a shape that only God can fill. And so Mary said, yes, let it be according to your word. And then we have the issue of Joseph, who was in a conundrum because he was not supposed to marry someone who was expecting a child. And that was a whole deal, I'm telling you. And he was going to leave her. You know, I mean, he loved her, but I mean, come on, what was going on? And then we find God and how he intervenes and is not afraid to show himself and said to Joseph, hey, you know what? This has been heavily conceived. Mary's been faithful to you. There's nothing wrong here. And God convinced him through the dream to trust him, to trust God. And there was a peace that came upon Joseph. And so now we have the story, of course, of Mary and Joseph, two individuals who have been heavenly directed to accept God's, quote, intrusion into humanity. So John 1, and we want to read verse 14, and it goes this way. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pause for a second. The Word became flesh. The Word is God. Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling on us. He lived among us. And as he lived among us, through the Gospels, we see his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father. And we see his glory manifested, full of grace and truth. So my question to you this morning is, are you ready to accept grace and truth from the Lord? Because that's what he came with. He said, I did not come to the world to condemn the world, but I came to save the world. I did not come to destroy you. I did not come to put you down. The enemy does that, but I've come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. There's a Christ who comes and makes his presence known in the world and reveals the Father. He who has seen me, says Jesus, has seen the Father. Who is God? Look at Jesus. And as you see Jesus in his actions, in his words, you will see God. For Jesus is God. So there are two things that this verse tells us that is so important. He came from the Father full of grace and truth. Let's look at that. First of all, he came with grace. Grace has two basic ideas for you and for me. And we in theology say that grace is something completely undeserved. It's God, you know, unmerited favor. He gives things to us that we don't deserve, something that we could have never achieved by our own works for ourselves. It's something that is beyond our reach. Grace is something that God does because he wants to and because he is who he is. God is love and God loves us. And in that love, we have this grace component that causes you to receive the pure love of God. Unlimited and unmitigated love of God. God gives us his grace. It is something that humanity did not deserve. Nevertheless, though it's undeserved, it comes to you and comes to me without limit. This is so difficult sometimes to understand how much God has given us, how powerful grace is upon you. Every time that you read the epistles, most of the epistles begin with grace and peace. God wants you to know that he is not your enemy today. Christ did not come to condemn. Christ doesn't show up in your life today to put you down, but to show you the way out of the mess you've made of your life, sort of like, you know. How many have made a mess of your life? Well, let's not. No volunteers, please. But it's not so much a mess as it is the daily issues, the ordinary events in our life the tasks that we have to do. That, you know, otra vez como friega, ¿verdad? Again, you know, look at this. Look. You know, but it's in that difficult moment, in those so-called trials of our lives, that we encounter God's grace. It's not so much that he kind of like gives us a pass like if nothing happened. No. He allows us to go through what we go through to teach us the lessons that he is there for us regardless of what we do. I know it's hard to receive that because we have a victim's mentality, or maybe if not a victim's mentality, we have a whole concept of guilt. And guilt, by the way, in life of the Christian, guilt is a waste of effort. Because God has not declared you guilty. He has declared you victorious. But we spend so much time feeling guilty that we can't enjoy God's grace that gives us victory. Because somehow, some way, we think we have to do something to get God's love or grace in our lives. Now, I am not doing a census here, but I would venture to say that everybody here sinned last week. Well, maybe if not last week, in the last hour, how about that one? We all have issues, but God has dealt with those issues through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, and he came with grace, the wonderful, marvelous, undeserved forgiveness of our sins. Undeserved. And yet he's giving it to us. So take it. Why don't you take it? Just take it. Thank you, Lord. Now, there is conviction for things we do that we know are wrong, and that's another story altogether. But what I'm saying is that it's impossible for the Christian to think that God will not extend his grace. God loves you dearly. So it has the idea of receiving from God something that I cannot earn, and he gives it to you. When you can't receive it, we may be looking at some issues of pride. Maybe looking at some issues of, well, I really don't need God here. I'm a man, or I'm a woman, or I am whatever. No, the grace, the word grace emphasizes our helplessness and at the same time the unlimited kindness of God towards you and towards me. But there's a second idea to grace, and that's beauty. When people thought of God in those days, and they thought of God as being beautiful. Might, majesty, power, horrific, that's the wrong term, beautiful judgment. Or he's horrific at judging in the right sense of the word. He doesn't miss. There's this beauty of grace that can crash the opposition and defeat rebellion. But in Jesus, we are confronted with the sheer loveliness and beauty of his grace. Do you think God could do away with you? Of course he could. Adios. But his grace is so wonderful and so beautiful that he does not give us what we deserve. That's what the scripture says. But it's given us all things through Christ Jesus our Lord. So Christmas is a time to rejoice because he came with grace. He came with lots of grace. But he also came with something else, and that's truth. Here is where we find St. John, who writes this epistle. He uses the word truth all through the gospel, again and again and again. And as I gather together the meaning of truth, as John presents it to you and to me, We find some incredible details that should turn our life upside down. First thing, Jesus is the embodiment of truth. You know what he said? He said, I am the truth. Try that for a fit. I am the truth. That's in John 14:6. So if you want to see truth, you need to look at Jesus, because he personifies. He is the embodiment of truth. It's difficult sometimes to grasp ideas that are abstract, you know, concepts up floating in the air. And I tell you why, because most of us think in pictures. We do. When you think in pictures, images. That's why we have to be careful with the images we incorporate into our brain, because those are the triggers in our lives. They really are. You know, we could argue forever as to what constitutes beauty, but in your mind, you can point to a beautiful person and say, that's beauty, because you need the image. Well, this is the thing. Jesus Christ embodies the truth. Unbelievable. I am the truth. And he says, the truth is such that when you want to see what God is like, look at me, because I am not here talking about God. I'm here to show you what God is like. See me. Wow. See him. So you need to see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, then you know that he is the truth. I have in my notes that you're supposed to applaud here, but that's fine. It's all right. It's all right. Don't worry about it. I forgive you. You know, it's Mike. It's, yeah, yeah. Well, when I go like this, then you. Look, this is not light stuff. This is stuff that you need to chew on. But it would be completely wrong for me to think that you can't handle the truth. Well, the second thing is that Jesus is not only the truth, but he's the one who communicates truth. Something interesting here, let me read it to you, is in John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, verse 31 specifically, he said, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, listen to this, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let me tell you, he told his disciples that they had to continue in his truth. And as you continue with the Lord, you find out the truth. About what? About everything. Everything that you need to know, you can ask Jesus. And Jesus will respond to you. He will guide you to all truth. As a matter of fact, in John 18, 37, he told Pilate that the object of his coming to this world was to be a witness of the truth. That's what he said. He was truth. He communicated the truth. He would tell you the truth. He wouldn't lie to you. How many people lie to you every day? Oh, you look great. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. So look, people will flock to you if you tell them the truth. And maybe they won't. But when you give guidance to people and you say the truth about their life and in a relationship with the Lord, and they ask for an honest opinion, and you give an honest opinion based on truth, let me just tell you, many people will want to listen to you and will respect you. We have so many people that tell you false things. Jesus always communicated the truth. Because you see, when you're making decisions, you need the truth. You don't want to have babbling discourses about a certain situation. You want the truth. When you're in a bad situation and you need to know, you need to go to the Lord, because the Lord will never deceive you. He will communicate the truth to you. He helps you to choose what's right. What was the most profound question that you've ever asked the Lord? That has great ramifications in your life, and you listen to him. In your daily walk, in everyday life, I have had several. One of the most important questions that I had before the Lord was, should I marry this girl? You think God cares about that? Well, if I care, he cares. Did you just catch that? If I care, he cares. I'll say it again. If I care, he cares. Because God's involved in your life. I remember the day when we were married, and she was walking down the aisle. I see it in my mind. I guess we see things in pictures. I see it. The other church, but it's okay. I can't imagine it. And yeah, I know you're going to say I'm crazy, and I know you're not going to really believe me, but I really don't care. I said, Lord, if she's not the one for me, she can fall dead. Wait. She didn't. Of course not. Of course she was God. But you have to have this attitude of, I want God to be in my life. I will pay for what I just said, so don't worry about it. But I mean, it's the idea of pursuing what you want from God and wanting to be right with God. And he communicates the truth to you. He's not going to lead you astray. He will not give you a serpent when you ask for a fish. He will not deny the desires of your heart. Because by this time, the desires of your heart are desires that align with God's plan for your heart. So I really think that amid the many voices that you hear this season, remember that he has come with the truth. You need to be old enough or smart enough or whatever enough to accept the truth. Oh, well. You cannot make up your own truth. It's either his truth or your truth. It's your kingdom or his kingdom. It is his will or your will. He will not leave you hanging. You know, the Lord is more interested in letting you know what he wants to do in your life than you're asking him. So the Lord is not difficult to find. The Lord is right there. There he is. He's speaking to you. If you want to listen, again, he is dark enough that you don't have to see him. You can say, I don't want him. Okay. But he's also bright enough to say, Lord, I want to see your light. And in his light, we will see the light. He says, trust the Lord your way, and he will strengthen your path. So it's not that God is imposing something on you that you don't want to do. He says to you and to me, what do you want to do? And I'll tell you the truth. You say, Lord, I want this. The Lord says, wonderful. Let's start walking on it. You start walking, and he begins to direct your path. He's now in charge in a wonderful way. Never forcing you, by showing you the path. Because if you go this way as you thought, you're going to fall in an abyss. If you go this way, it's a sure path. So this is the truth about Jesus. He came to give us truth. And you can ask the Lord anything you want, and he will speak to your heart. He will speak to you. We don't have a dumb God. We have a smart speaking God. Never has God stopped speaking to you and to me. We need to tune into him. Now, I don't want to be rough on anybody here in particular or anybody, but expect God to speak within the mega themes. I just want to tell you that you don't need to get up in the morning and say, Lord, should I brush my teeth? Let me just take this from the Lord. Brush your teeth. There are certain things we just do because they're what we do. But we're talking about the issues that make us or break us in life. Look, I know people who arrive at a parking place and say, oh, Lord, show me a good parking place. That's fine. I'm not going to worry about that. What I worry about it is when you're making big decisions and you don't really go into it with the Lord. You just kind of skip over it, you know. And they had two, three things that we always skip. You know, one of them is, should I go to church? Talk to Christians in the morning, Sunday morning. Oh, Lord, you remember that I am dust. Lord, you know I'm weak. But you understand all things, Lord, you know. So I'm going to worship you, Lord, in my pajamas. God calls us to community. Does God do away with you because if he didn't? No, you're just losing out. You're losing a blessing from the Lord. The other one that the Lord speaks to your heart and my heart is, should I tithe in the church? There are Christians today, been in church for years, and they still don't tithe. A tithe is 10% of your income that's put in the church to sustain this, to keep moving. A lot of people don't tithe. As a matter of fact, this is a well-known fact that 20% of the church tithes, and the other 80 just give an offering. It's another known fact. 20% of the people who work in the church do the work of the 80% that don't do anything. It's a 20-80 occasion. It's the way it is. But you must move yourself away from that negative column, and you must say, I do want to serve the Lord, and I'm going to come to church, and you've had this morning, and then I'm going to tithe. And then the third thing that people fight God all the time is prayer. As a discipline. Well, because in prayer is when you face the Lord. I mean, on a personal way. Hey, the Lord speaks to your heart. Oops. Lord, you know, and the Lord says, uh-huh. And then your own conscience betrays you, so to speak, like you've not been right, and you know you're not. There's conviction. And that leads us to the third point in my outline that says that when Jesus left his earth, when he left his body, I should say, he left his spirit to guide us into the truth. His spirit is the spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit, it's the element of truth, because he's the spirit of truth, Jesus. And you know, I need to be careful when I say this, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say. Because Jesus did not only leave us this book. He also gave us the Spirit of God to guide us to all truth. In my experience in the university, I know people who read this text, like I would read Shakespeare or Cervantes or Amado Nervo or Pablo Neruda or Gabriel Mistral, whoever. And it's great stuff, but it never takes the place of the inspired word of God. And this word has to be processed through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit so that it can make an impact in your heart and life in your daily walk with him. We don't have a Bible with questions and answers. We don't have a Bible, the Word of God, that is like a crossword puzzle or like chi. there are mysteries here that I need you to find. No, it speaks directly to you. And the amazing thing is that the Word of God comes alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God will show you in the pages of this Word his truth about you, about me. So we don't have a formula. We don't. We have the Spirit of God who deals with each one of us individually and collectively as a church. So the Lord speaks to you. And then you respond to him. And it's all nested in his word. That's why we need to be in the word, you know. But this nested in the word. To this very same day, the Spirit of God is there to help you to understand the scriptures, to understand what it means to have the truth inside of you, the truth that sets you free. So Christmas It's about grace, but it's also about the truth. Because, as I just alluded, it is the truth that sets us free. John 8:32. You know, when the truth comes, it kind of sets you free. When you're a little kid, you have ideas about yourself. Let me go back to your childhood ages. How many of you thought you were Superman or Superwoman? You know, so. Thank you. You're almost there. And sometimes children are afraid of the dark. And they have to sleep with a light on. Some of you still do that. Okay, that's fine. But when they're told the truth that there is no boogeyman, when they know the truth, when they're told the truth, fear goes away. It goes away. Let me put it another way, all of us adults in the room, all of a sudden you get a splinter right here. And it doesn't go away. And it doesn't go away. And it doesn't go away. And then you begin to worry. And so what do? Well, you eventually wind up to see your doctor. And your doctor says to you, you know what? It's a splinter. Let me just pull it out. He pulls it out. You're going to be well. The truth sets you free. There's something about deliverance when you know the truth. When you know the truth about something, you're not haunted but by fears, unfounded. Your mind is no longer incarcerated. There's a freedom in your mind, in your heart. And this is exactly what Jesus came to do. The truth of Jesus liberates you. And it liberates you from fighting God. Because God is not your enemy. His truth is God is not after you. God loves you. In that way, he is. But, I mean, he's not after you for you to get punished for the bad things you've done. That's not what this is about. Jesus took care of those sins on the cross. You need to acknowledge Christ in your life. And it liberates you from just a frustrated kind of life. A life of fear. A life of imprisonment. Things that are hanging over you today. You need to allow the Lord to set you free by knowing the truth. And the truth is that the fears and the weaknesses that you have today and defeats don't belong in your life. Because Jesus has set you free with truth. And the first truth is that God loves you. That God cares for you. That God will sustain you. That God has forgiven you. That there's a plan for you that you need to seek and enter. Jesus Christ is the greatest liberator on earth. His truth sets you free. His truth sets you free. So you can have your own truth, like people say, you know. Well, it's only one truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But there's something else about truth, as we're coming to the end this morning, that you can resent the truth. I think I've alluded to it. I think it's important for me to read this to you. 8:40 of John. Why do you think they did not like Jesus? 8:40, it says, read it here. As it is, you are determined to kill me. Jesus says, a man who has told you the truth. Wow. Huh. You know, people sought to kill Jesus because he told them the truth. ¿Cómo entender eso? How do you understand that? He tells you the truth and you're going to kill him. That's because there's some, even here, this morning, I speak to all of you. I think I know most of you anyway. That when the Lord shows you something, you don't want it. That shows you that you're still in charge of your own little kingdom. Enjoy. But it's going to go away very fast. The truth may very well condemn people because the truth can show you how far away you really are. And you fight God. And you fight the truth. And you've been told time after time after time after time. The Lord's speaking to your heart about issues of life. And you say, no. But guess what? The truth remains. you just fool yourself saying, I'm not going to believe that. Well, you're right not to believe it, but it's still the truth. So you could resent the truth. You really could. You know, and when truth comes to your heart, to your life, listen, truth will always catch up with you. You can run, but you can't hide. It catches up with you. So why don't you give your heart to the Lord today and say, Lord, come into my life, because, you know, at the end of my life, I'm going to be there with a scream in my heart, with fear, because I'm going to die and I don't know what's going to happen. So Lord, come into my life now, so that at least at that moment, you know. And so you say that, and so the Lord comes into your heart, and then the Lord says, well, I'm not ready to take you yet. I have a whole life for you to live for me. What? Yeah, I want you to be my disciple. I want you to listen to what I got to do. You know, you have duties here. I have a plan for your life. So the truth will remain no matter how much you resent it. Because, see, they killed Jesus, right? Jesus died on the cross. He died. But he's alive today. The cynics say that truth can be like the light to sore eyes. Isn't that the truth? That's the truth. Forgive the pun. And in 8:45, Jesus continues to speak. He says, let me see, where are you? Yet because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Because, you know, the Lord can be telling you the truth and you still say, no, I don't believe. You can be defiant. You can't. Sometimes people disbelieve because it's too good to be true. But I often believe that it's not that. It's because they're so attached to their half-truths that they're not going to let them go. And sometimes half-truth is the worst enemy of the whole truth. My grandfather used to say, la mitad de la mentira es la peor mentira. Half of a lie is the worst lie. Because you don't tell the truth. You don't come clean. But Jesus comes clean. And he says, you can disbelieve my truth. And people disbelieved him. I don't believe you. You have a right not to believe. But may I just warn you that it's still not going to alter or change the truth. Well, one more item, and then we can all have a wonderful Merry Christmas. Spirit of Christmas is grace and truth. Grace is beautiful, and truth is quite an element. So the last thing I mention about truth is that truth is not something abstract. It's not just an ideology you have in your brain or an idea. Read to you 3:21, and I think that this is the one that will clinch everything. 3:21 says something like this: but whosoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. In other words, it's something that must be done. The word, the truth must be done. It's something that not must only be known in the mind, but it has to be accepted in the heart, and it has to be acted in life. So it starts here. It goes here, and then it goes to your feet. You get it in your brain, comes to your heart, and then you walk it. Be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Don't just hear it, do it. So give your heart to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, I want to serve you. I know I'm guilty. I know I'm sinning, sinner. Forgive my sins, and Jesus will forgive your sins. Lord, I want to follow you, Lord. I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you, Lord. And then you need to say, Lord, whatever you want of me, I will do. And then hands off. Let the Lord start working in your life. Speak to me, Lord. He will speak to you. He'll speak to you as sure as I am speaking to you, he will speak to your heart. And at first you will wonder how God speaks to you. So you got brothers and sisters in the church and in community, you'd ask somebody, how does God speak to you? How do you know it's the Lord speaking to you? And we will share that with you, how intimate it is, how beautiful it is, how wonderful to feel the grace of God not condemning you, but giving you life, beauty. All of a sudden, you start liking yourself, but differently than before. You know? All of a sudden, God's grace begins to fill your heart, and you're not as harsh as you used to be, or, you know, whatever you used to be, or you are. And God's grace has come to you, and little by little, you say to yourself, you know, I want to go to church. I want to be with folks who love the Lord. So I never had this feeling before. I want to be there. And you miss a Sunday and you say, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. No matter what, I'm going to tithe of my time. At least Sunday morning, I'm going to be in church. And I'm going to bring someone with me because people need to know God's grace is beautiful. I'm not being condemned by God. God's not putting me down. God is giving me a plan for life. And he's telling me the truth. He doesn't lie to me. He levels with me. Oh, my. So I don't have to just think about the truth. I can live the truth. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to love my enemies. And you look around and say, I wonder who my enemies are. And you'll find out that they're not really your enemies. They're the purpose for which God brought you into this world, for you to talk to them so they will know Jesus in your life. All of a sudden, you'll see your spouse and you'll say, Lord, I'm glad she didn't die. You had to be there in the front of the beginning of the sermon, you know, so. Please. All of a sudden you say, so I'm single, but you know, it's not bad. I know a lot of people who are single. There's nothing wrong with that. It's beautiful. You're free. Yeah, you don't have a responsibility with your spouse. You have a certain dream. And all of a sudden, you have obligations. Because all of us have things to do. But you begin to see, what is this? And the Lord begins to say, you're going to be my disciple. And I have a plan for your life. And let's walk together. And it's amazing what God does in the life of those who simply want to listen to the truth. So that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He didn't come to beat you up. He came to bless you, to strengthen you. Jesus is wonderful. May you be in church next Sunday morning as we celebrate Christmas Eve at 11 o'clock in the morning. Bring me a gift. The gift is you. You come. What a gift. Wonderful. Just come yourself. You're the gift. But you can always do something extra. Of course not. All right. Can I hear an amen? This is Beverly. This is what we do here. It's what we do here. It's never really cotton candy, is it? It never is. We ask the questions of life, and we're not afraid to put them out there. So Christmas, Jesus came with grace and truth. That's our Christmas. Yeah, let's give a hand clap to the Lord. There you go. Thank you. Praise you. So if I would have a singing voice, I would do the singing, but I'm not going to do that. And there was a time that I used to lead out in singing, and then they would cut my microphone off. So. And I couldn't figure out until I heard myself one time, and I said, who's that yelling there, you know? So I guess the singing apparatus that Jennifer and Jeff are blessed with don't come through my genes. It's Wilma. Lord, I thank you for Christmas. I thank you that you came, and that you came with grace and truth. You did not come to condemn us. I pray that you would bless us and strengthen us this season, that we would be willing to hear your voice, to hear the truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And he became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing.
Church, can I hear an amen and say? So we're going to have a wonderful feast. They got some good stuff, the ladies, and stay for the celebrities, festivities, with celebrating his 45th year.
46.
Okay, we get on the record. 46. All right, 46. 46?
I don't do math so well, so maybe.
Maybe 46. All right. We'll enjoy that. So this is the day that the Lord has made. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.